Imagine two nations, four wars, and stockpiles of nuclear weapons on both sides. This is the backstory each time India and Pakistan meet to play cricket. The two nations recently staged a three-game series. Only a Game's Ken Shulman traveled to Delhi and Calcutta to learn about the sharp political lines that are often erased by the shared cultural heritage of citizens of both countries who have more in common than many families do.
I don't think any rivalry compares to India-Pakistan. And the reason is partition.
Borya Majumdar is an academic and TV pundit who lives and works in Calcutta, India.
No other country has come out of this level of political trauma and played. So you see, India-Pakistan cricket is of a different league. It is the world's foremost sporting rivalry across all sports. And that's what makes it so special.
Partition. When the British withdrew from India in 1947, two states were born. A massive Hindu-majority state called India and a smaller Islamic republic called Pakistan. The twin births were traumatic. Hindus, Muslims, and Sikhs who had lived together for centuries slaughtered each other on both sides of the newly drawn borders. 1 million or more people were killed. 20 million were made refugees. The British also left their cricket. Since then, the game has served as olive branch, surrogate war, and communal obsession for nearly one-fifth of the world's population. I'm here in Calcutta for game two of an important three-game series. India and Pakistan haven't played head-to-head in 5 years. Since the Mumbai terror attacks in 2008, that left 174 people dead. India blames the attacks on Pakistan. Outside the stadium, scalpers are selling tickets for half price. Inside the stadium, the atmosphere is, well, just plain dull. No flags, no songs, a feeble wave now and then. On the pitch, 7'1" Pakistani fast bowler Mohammad Irfan makes kofta of the Indian batsman. Picture Randy Johnson with a 50-foot running start. India loses its second match in a row. The series is lost. Nobody cheers, nobody boos. I know I'm a stranger in a strange land, but I just don't get it. In Delhi, I walked barefoot up three chilled flights of marble stairs into the sanctuary of the Sikh temple in the Chandni Chowk marketplace. About 1 million Sikhs live in the Indian capital. Many came here from Lahore after partition. The Sikhs believe in prayer, charity, and the equality of all persons. But cricket with Pakistan, says head priest Johnny Ranjit Singh, is another matter.
If we lose to Australia, it's fine. If we lose to England, it's fine. Even if we lose to Bangladesh, it's fine. But if we lose to Pakistan, it's like committing suicide.
India and Pakistan, no game, only war.
No game, only war. Maybe that's a little much, or maybe it isn't. In 1983, Karachi fans stormed the field in the middle of a five-day match with India. In 1989, fans in Calcutta pelted visiting players with bottles and fruit after a controversial call. The match was finished in an empty stadium. After a loss to India, one Pakistani fan emptied the clip of an AK-47 into his television set, then took his own life. But there are also heartwarming stories around this rivalry.
I happened to be in Karachi when the Indian team was visiting.
Fazia Khan is a filmmaker from Mumbai. In 1989, she traveled to Pakistan for the first time to visit family she'd never met. She stayed up all night making banners for India and, against the advice of her cousins, went to the stadium. When the first Pakistani wicket fell, that's cricket speak for making an out, she stood up and cheered.
And the entire stadium in front of me, all the women in the zanana stand turned to look at me. They thought it was a mistake and I sat down. The second wicket, again I was up. They all turned and this time there was a hush. And my cousin said that we're going to disown you. And then suddenly three women from the front turned to me and said, "Are you from India?" And I said, "Yes." And I was really scared at that point of time. And then they suddenly turned around and they said, "Oh, wow, can you give us all the Bollywood gossip?"
Cricket has also helped India tell its own story. In the 2001 Bollywood hit musical Lagan, one of the characters, a cricket bowler, is an untouchable, the lowest of the low in India's caste system. The character is based on Pawankar Ballu, a real-life untouchable who broke Indian cricket's caste barrier in the early 20th century. But the mirror hasn't always been flattering. Samir Khan is a playwright from Pune. He remembers watching a 1992 India-Pakistan match from Australia on television with a group of boyhood Hindu friends.
And after the match was over, when India won and we were celebrating, and when we were returning home, we were confronted with this huge mob.
Suddenly, someone hit Samir from behind and knocked him down, shouting, "Pakistan Mordabad, death to Pakistan."
I didn't know why they did that, you know, I didn't realize that. So, but then suddenly my friend, who was a little older to me, he realized that what was happening, and he started to fight with them and then told me to run. And that is the time I realized that they had hit me because I was a Muslim.
It's just after 10 a.m. on Sunday, the final match. The series is already lost for India, but these fans at the Delhi Stadium don't care. Everyone's having fun and everyone's getting along. Indians and Pakistanis, Muslims and Hindus, all posing together for pictures. Some fans have both countries' flags painted on their faces. Faizan Lakhani is a Pakistani sports writer. I ask him if partition still matters to these fans.
I think we have to get over it. Whatever happened, it happened 65 years ago. Although there are bitter memories on both sides of borders, but we have to get over it. We have to move forward.
Is today a cricket match or is it diplomacy?
It's a cricket match. It's a cricket match. It's nothing more than a cricket match.
I watched the final match in a working-class Muslim neighborhood near Turkmen Gate, in the home of Fasiha and Mohammed Kashia. He's from Delhi, she's from Lahore. They speak the same language, eat the same foods. They're even cousins. When Fasiha left her Lahore home 8 years ago to be married, her mother warned her not to cheer for Pakistan. But the bride from Lahore continues to root for her homeland, even though her husband, children, and in-laws cheer for India. The only thing she and her new family agree on in cricket is that the Pakistani team is far more handsome. I ask her if the marriage can survive the rivalry.
No. There is no chance.
I confess, I came to India looking for a reality show. Instead, I found a friendly family feud, and that's a good thing. In the final match, India salvages its honor, beating Pakistan by 10 runs. There are no riots. Delhi traffic is no worse than normal. The following day, the front page is full of reports from the disputed region of Kashmir, where an exchange of fire across the de facto border has left two Pakistani soldiers dead. For Only a Game, I'm Ken Shulman.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Tribou. Our technical director is John Parati. We had help last week from the very forgiving Amanda Art, and this week from Peter Lydotis. Our intern is Martin Kessler, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. You can check out Ken Shulman's cricket picks, and they are cricket picks, and Susan Vallett's photos of the LA Kings. Please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from, who else? Lance Armstrong.
People will see me as somebody that is disrespected, the color yellow.
Well, that's bad, but not nearly as bad as disrespecting the color purple, if you catch my meaning. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org. The Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration to address the world's pressing environmental problems. And the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at JoyceFDN.org. This is NPR.